From 1 till 4. Afternoons with Matt Webb. Cambridge
105. So it is the first Wednesday of the month, and I'm pleased to announce that Cambridge 105's Charity of the Month for August is CamSite. And joining me in the studio now to tell us a little bit more about the charity and what the charity does is Sally Knotts. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
So first of all, just tell us about your role within CamSite and what you do.
I'm Client Services Manager at CamSite. So I oversee a range of services that we offer, which includes emotional support, community support, rural support and equipment.
So you touched on rural support there. That's out in the sticks, some people would say.
Well, yes, not exactly. We have 18 rural support groups scattered around the region, and they're really aimed at people for whom transport and getting into the centre of town is really difficult. So we take our service out to them. So we run groups once a month within villages around the area. People come there for speakers, for general peer support amongst each other. There's always a member of CamSite there to give guidance and help. So it's a mixture of getting people out and about to alleviate isolation, create friendships, create a good support network within the community, and also have quite a bit of mental stimulation as well with the various speakers that we have.
And what does CamSite do for people who aren't familiar with the work of the organisation?
Well, we basically support people with any type of sight loss or visual impairment, whatever their age, and whatever degree of the sight loss that they have. We offer support which is completely free of charge, and a range of services depending on the client's needs at any one given time. So we cover, for example, emotional support, which is crucial for someone that has either recently started to have difficulties with their sight or maybe has a long-term condition, but they might be struggling to handle it emotionally or needing extra support, either from professionals. We have professional staff who are professionals counsellors, one of whom is visually impaired herself. And we gather together small groups of people for a range of meetings over 6 to 8 weeks, where they get an opportunity to meet others in a very similar situation to themselves, support each other, get a chance really to express their frustration, their upset, their anger within a very small and supportive group. So they get support from each other, but also from CamSite staff as well.
When you say anger and frustration, what sort of things can people mention? What sort of discussions happen?
Well, I think one of the main things that comes up is this sense of loss, as a sort of bereavement. People can lose their eyesight in all sorts of ways. It can be very sudden and unexpected, or it could be a long-term condition where the sight is gradually diminishing over a period of time. But however it happens, it does, you know, mean that someone is probably not able to do many of the things that they used to do before. It could be enough for them to lose their job. They then lose their sort of sense of status, if you like, their position within the family, if they've been the family breadwinner, their work experience, and it comes to nothing and they're left, you know, without a job. It can be difficult for families too, as well. It's not just the visually impaired person that experiences difficulties and frustrations, but a lot of it is the need to rethink their way of life and being able to continue to do as much of the things that they've always done before, but maybe in a slightly different way, and we can give the support, guidance and advice to help that happen.
So adapting their way of life to deal with the situation?
Yes, pretty much, yes. I mean, again, for every individual it's different. One person might have a particular difficulty or a particular area in their life that they're struggling with, but we can provide support for each individual because no two people are the same in what their needs might be.
And you also do offer low vision equipment. I noticed on your website you've got things like big button phones and a talking clock and a liquid level indicator, things that some of us who have got relatively good vision, I say that I'm wearing glasses, I'm slightly short-sighted, but it's these things that people often take for granted in everyday life.
Absolutely, and it's often the most simple of pieces of of equipment that make the difference for somebody in their day-to-day life. We have a centre at our office in Green End Road in Chesterton where we have a range of equipment. We have staff, trained staff, who can give a lot of information and guidance on what might be appropriate for somebody's needs. And it will vary from day-to-day items to help maybe in the kitchen, whether it's a set of talking kitchen scales or something that will bleep so that you know not to pour too much hot water in a cup, to large button telephones, as you mentioned, talking watches and clocks, lighting, which is extremely important, special lighting, source lighting for different activities, different types of magnifier. We have a whole range of items. Sometimes people don't know what they need, so they might come into the centre really at a bit of a loss, and then they will spend time with our staff who will talk through what their day-to-day interests and activities might be, and then they can give guidance and advice accordingly. Unfortunately, the equipment isn't free. That is the one part of the service that isn't free. People do have to buy.
But you do offer quite a range of equipment, which is really good.
We do, yes, yes.
And what partners do you work with locally? Because obviously you are a charity, but you must work with other organisations. And do you work with Addenbrookes Hospital, say, for instance?
We do, yes. I mean, we have a link in with the clinic there, and we get a lot of referrals from the low vision clinic at Addenbrookes. So we have very close liaison there. We also work with our sort of fellow providers of sight services too in the region, like the Hunterdon Society for the Blind as well. Because we all very much work together, because we all have a common aim. And we also get a lot of support from local businesses too in the work that we do.
I noticed that one of your supporters is Anglia Ruskin University's optometry department, for example.
Yes, we do have one of our members of staff also works there, as well as working at CAMSITE. And we do training for students. So we do a lot of sighted guided training and so forth at CAMSITE. So we do get students from Anglia Ruskin that come to us regularly for training and visual awareness training as well.
And that must be very beneficial for their future careers, for example.
Definitely, definitely. Mm. They get a chance to go around the building and the area outside blindfolded to get a sense of what it might be like to move around outside without sufficient sight. They also have talks from some of our visually impaired clients who can just explain exactly what it is like. And there's nothing more effective than actually hearing it from someone that, you know, that really knows what they're talking about, rather than someone that is just conveying information.
Now, one of the complaints that people have in Cambridge is the amount of A-boards and things that are blocking streets. Now, people who are blind or visually impaired would struggle with these sorts of these sorts of things. And what sort of things have your clients told you about the way that Cambridge is set up to accommodate people who are blind and visually impaired?
It's difficult. No two ways about it. And as you say, A-boards are a common problem. Uneven curbs, uneven pavements, wheelie bins on the street, overhanging undergrowth and trees. Often things that, as a sighted person, you don't give a second thought. If you're visually impaired in any way, or if you're disabled in any way, becomes a huge obstacle. And a lot of it is common sense. I think if people stop to just think for a moment or two, to think about accessibility and safety, because it's very much a safety issue too.
I mean, when people put their bins out, for example, they might put them out in a safe place, but when they've been empty, they might have been left strewn across the pavement. And it's educating not just sort of residents, but also dustbin people, to make sure that they're put in a safe place, so people don't end up getting injured by them if they happen to walk into them.
Exactly. It's a constant battle, really. And I think, you know, as much visual awareness training in any capacity is helpful in shops and buses, transport and so on, but it needs to be more consistent, I think. There are always people who are incredibly helpful and very understanding, but equally there are difficulties as well, which, you know, take time to overcome.
Do you have many volunteers working for you?
We do. We have over 350 volunteers. We couldn't really do what we do without them. They're quite marvellous, and they work on all sorts of activities within the organisation. We have some that actually work in the office on the telephones, or doing ring-arounds to ensure that our clients are happy and safe and have everything that they need. We have volunteers who help in our groups. They help with transport, or they will visit people at home, maybe read to them, help them with their post, general sort of domestic assistance, really, all manner of things. And they really are quite tremendous, are very much a part of our team.
Are you looking for volunteers at the moment?
Oh, yes, we're always delighted to hear from anyone that's interested in volunteering. We have two volunteer members of staff, a manager and her assistant, and they liaise directly with volunteers. They will interview them and find out what their particular areas of interest are. And all the volunteers have some sighted guided training as well.
That sounds really good, actually. It's important to get that training, obviously, to be able to look after and obviously help these people.
Yes, it's essential, absolutely essential. Yeah.
Now, obviously, you are a local charity. You must rely heavily on donations and grants and the such like. Do you also organise events for fundraising, like sponsored walks and things like that?
We do. We have the Friends of Campsite, which is a sort of fundraising wing that works in conjunction with the work that the organisation does itself. They put on about 4 or 5 activities a year, usually of some sort of sensory nature, so that they're open for everybody. So it might be something musically based, or a tasting. We do a lot of cheese tastings, wine and chocolate and so forth. We've had some very interesting lectures and talks in the Institute of Astronomy, King's College, Chapel Roof. So we try and keep it varied. And it's not just fundraising, but it's also raising awareness as well, because it's terribly important that we just keep that message and keep our presence out there in the community.
Yeah, marketing and promotions and fundraising do all sort of come into one core as to sort of make your organisation more people aware of it, as it were.
Yes,
so yeah. And when it comes to people, if they're listening to this and they think, oh, I wouldn't mind donating some money to Campsite or supporting you, how can people go about doing that?
Well, we're always interested to hear from anybody that might be interested in doing any fundraising for us or volunteering or support. The best way is probably to ring in directly to Campsite, and then we can direct whoever to the appropriate person and then take it from there.
And your number is 01223 420033.
That's right. Yes.
And you've also got a really good website which has lots of information on it as well. That's at campsite.org.uk.
That's right, yes. That covers actually everything that we do, with links forward as well.
Well, excellent stuff. And congratulations for being selected as Cambridge 105's Charity of the Month August. It must be something quite special to you to be recognised in this way.
Well, we're delighted. As I say, it's terribly important for us to make sure that people are aware of what we do. And often, unless you're touched by sight loss in some shape or form, you wouldn't be aware of Campsite and its existence. But if by being a Charity of the Month we can get our message across to even one person, then that's a job well done, and we'll be delighted.
Excellent stuff. Well, it's a pleasure having you in the studio, and of course we'll have Warren in a couple of weeks time to talk more about the work that he does, and he has some inspiring stories as well.
Doesn't he? Warren's great. He's a great ambassador for Campsite, because he's seen us from both angles, as a client and as a member of staff. And in fact, all the people that will be coming in this month to be interviewed have all got some degree of visual impairment, and they all work for Campsite too.
So it'll be really good to hear some of those stories. And if you want to keep an eye on what's going on with the Charity of the Month, all you need to do is visit our website, cambridge105.co.uk. If you scroll down in the middle of the page, you'll see the Charity of the Month box, and it will take you to all the podcasts that will be available over the course of the next month, including this one. But for now, Sally, thank you very much for coming in and talking about Campsite today. Thank you.
Thank you.